Last night, some saints said my voice was a little bit too soft. I didn't want to, you know, hurt your ears, that's why. Especially, you know, to the loudspeaker. If you cannot hear or you can't hear clearly, please raise your hand, okay? Well, if you really want to, you can really see that the Holy Spirit given to us has so much function. The function of the Holy Spirit is just marvelous. If you read, for example, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit that gives life, there's a law of the Spirit of life to liberate you from the law of sin and death. Without the Holy Spirit in you, you cannot be liberated from sin. It's impossible. So, the law of the Spirit of life must set us free from the law of sin. This is very important. And in Romans 8, it also says, the Spirit who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. What for? In order to give life to his mortal bodies, to make alive. We don't realize that in this fallen human nature, there is the working death. This is terrible. Before you and I died, and you're 95, you're lucky to live until 95, or you're 100 years old, that's just a physical death. But today we announce that there's a spiritual death to make you weak when it comes to spiritual things. I always tell the young people, why is it when you watch the TV, you can watch until 1 o'clock in the morning and your eyes are still so big, right? But when you're reading the Bible, after 2 minutes, your eyes become smaller and smaller. At the end, you can't even open it anymore. You're reading the Bible. Am I right? Especially my eyes. Look at my eyes, they're already so small. And when I read the Bible, not in the Spirit, my eyes get even smaller and smaller. At the end, I can't see anything anymore. Why is that? What is the reason? The reason is because death has its effect in our flesh to just weaken us when it comes to spiritual things. So you have to realize the Spirit within you is to make alive your mortal bodies, to swallow the death that's in you. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. Not the teaching will help you. No, the teaching. Oh yeah, you said that's right, that's right. But when you go home, you still love to watch so many things. Watch you don't want to watch. So what you should watch, you're so interesting. When you see a Mercedes Benz, your eyes, or you see a Porsche, but you don't see heavenly things. You don't see heavenly things. You don't see spiritual things. Why is that? So you should realize that there is such a thing called death that operates within. And the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead just dwells in you. When such a Spirit dwells in you, it will strengthen you, free you from the law of sin and death. I see Lorraine reading the medical books every day and she's not tired.
But when it comes to the meeting, I'm tired. But when you're studying, preparing for the exam, going to school, doing so much work. But how? You're sleeping there? No, you're not sleeping. So energized. But when we're doing spiritual things, my goodness, after a few minutes, you run out of battery, run out of gas. Right? To go on vacation, my, you can wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, get ready to go on vacation. You're going to, I don't know where, Japan, to go shopping, right? On time to come to the meeting office. Meeting starts at 10 o'clock. Oh, it's, I still have 1 minute. We are like this, aren't you like that? So you can really see. Why is that? Why does it happen like that to me in life? And so in Romans chapter 8, it also tells you that the Spirit within you will help you to mortify the deeds of your body, put to death the deeds of the flesh. You have to kill it. But many times you sympathize with it. You even like it. No, don't say that. I like it. But what if the Holy Spirit says no? What are you going to do? Okay, you will handle, you negotiate with the Holy Spirit and says, no, don't kill it, just freeze it. And the next day you take it out of the freezer and do it again. How about that? No, the Spirit says, kill it. Put to death the deeds of the body. How are you going to do it? It is by the Holy Spirit. Even in Romans 8, it tells you, you may not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit within you will help you to pray. Because the Holy Spirit knows what is the will of the Father. Many times when we pray for our job, we pray for our health, we pray to make more money, pray that our children will be obedient to the parents. Give me obedient parents, otherwise I have a headache. Right? You pray for so many outward things. But what about business of your Heavenly Father? You pray for God's will to be done. You pray for His kingdom to come down. Did none of the Lord teach you to pray? Do you pray for the glory of the Father? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom will come. How many of you pray daily that His kingdom will come quickly? I heard so many people complaining about politics and things in Manila and in the world and Ukraine and all that, whatever. So much trouble. So what do you pray for? Oh Lord, stop the trouble in Ukraine. Oh, stop corruption in the Philippines. He's not going to stop. He's not going to listen to that prayer. So what do you pray? Lord, I pray that I will not be kidnapped. You should pray, Lord, look at the situation. It's so bad. May your kingdom come quickly. Because only if your kingdom come, there'll be really peace and righteousness on this earth. Why don't you pray like that? And who's going to teach you how to pray? The pastor? How are you going to pray according to God's will? Who's going to teach you? The Holy Spirit within you. Thy will be done. Lord, we pray. Will be done in Quezon City. What is His will? The Lord wants. God's heard it, glorious bride, holy, without blemish, heavenly, spiritual. Do you pray for that every day? You pray, oh Lord, give me more business. More business. How about that? No? Still business. More business, less business, it's still business. You see? That's in my head. More business, less business. No, you should say more of your kingdom. More of your will be done on this earth. More of Christ within us. Right? This is the work of the Holy Spirit to really help us. That's why, you know, although we check, that doesn't mean that you fully grasp. Get into the Word and really find out what the Spirit wants to do. You asked my wife 40 some years ago. I hate to talk about myself, but for the sake of the young people, I went to the desert place near Los Angeles, a place called Joshua Tree. I was invited by a brother who works there to make some research. I said, what am I going to do there? He said, no, William, you can have a room of your own. And I will bother you, nobody bothers you. I go to work during the day and you're there in the wilderness by yourself for 1 week. What are you doing in the wilderness by yourself for 1 week? I went through the whole scriptures to find out what is the function of the Holy Spirit. What is the human spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? I went through every verse. Have you done that? Maybe you'll do it someday. You have to. Because I desire to know. Who is this Holy Spirit? What does he do? What is his job? How do I experience him? What is his function in me? Not to know, but I want to experience. Because my God is a living God. My Lord says the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll dwell in you. And he's called our comforter. Every translation is our helper. What is he going to help you for? To help you make money? I don't think he's going to help you make money. To help you finish your studies with flying colors? Then you don't need the Holy Spirit. He just need a good mind, and that's good. But to do and accomplish heavenly things in the will of God, to live a life that is well pleasing to Him, to be holy and righteous and glorious. Who is going to help you do that? John, you have a professor to help you do that? Yes, you do. His name is called Professor Holy Spirit. He draws in you to teach. Right. So praise the Lord for such a wonderful spirit. You need to get into it. You need to get into it. Within my heart. Everything I did in that desert place is in my heart today. Otherwise, I cannot tell you about so many different aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just telling you doctrine. It is my experience. We need to experience the Holy Spirit. It's not good just to know when you don't have any experience of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostal people, they're just talking in tongues, and they don't even know what they're talking about. Do you like to speak what you don't know? I think I told you young people many years ago when I was studying in Freiburg University in Germany. In my dormitory there was an American student. His name is Mike. So he came down to see me in the dormitory quite a few times. And he was always trying to convince me to speak in tongues. I told him the Bible says not all speak in tongues, and I don't have that urge and that necessity. But he was so much of speaking in tongues. One day he came to see me, and he was really all white. He's already a Caucasian, but he's whiter than a Caucasian. he lost all the color. He was so scared. I asked him, "Hey, Mike, what's wrong? What happened?" And he told me, just a week ago, he said, "I was talking to my professor. And all of a sudden, while talking to my professor, I began to speak in tongues." He began to speak in a strange tongue. Can you imagine, all of a sudden, I'm talking to my professor and I speak in Chinese? Professor, what? What are you talking? And he was very surprised because he couldn't control his tongue anymore. Then a few days later, he began to say without his control, "In the name of Satan. In the name of Satan." He got shocked. And he... It's still... Still in the name of Satan, although... How about that? Scared the daylights out of him. He came knocking on my door. No. Forget about those things. I don't have time to talk about those things. Otherwise, I get into the scriptures to prove to you and all that stuff. That's what the Lord really wants us to do. But the Spirit wants to come into you to tell you how to live a life that is well pleasing to the Father. This is the wonderful Spirit that enters into us. So, in order that we may build up the heavenly Jerusalem, and Paul says the oneness, like we saw last night, is the oneness of the Spirit. Not just any kind of oneness. It is endeavoring to do your best, make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Remember, oneness, this kind of oneness, does not mean that we agree on certain teaching. No. Even if we agree, we may not be one. And it's worse if we agree on something that is not right. That's worse. So don't just agree with everything, no. If what I'm saying is not according to the Bible, don't agree with me, kick me out. But our oneness is what the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in John 17, we read last night. It is the oneness between the Father and the Son, that wonderful oneness. That they all may be one as you, Father, and I are one. My oneness. This is the heavenly oneness. This is the oneness of the Spirit. One Spirit, one Lord, one God, Father. A wonderful oneness. Now if you see this, now you can check point number one. Okay? All the young people, young sisters, they clean, yes. Okay, you check it, check your box. Praise the Lord. Now, the second point. What should I do? I'm still tempted to jump to point number five. You know, because the Father is the most important thing in our mission. So let's go to point five. How about that? Because the Lord said, the Father seeks such to worship. Very interesting, the Lord did not say, I am seeking such to worship. No. What is the Lord saying? The Father. And the true worshippers are those who worship the Father. He didn't even use the word God. And when the disciples told the Lord and asked the Lord and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Okay, he did not say, when you pray to me, you should say, Lord, may your name be glorified. Hallowed be your name. What did he say to pray to whom? You know, in the Gospel of John, especially the Gospel of John, there are just how many chapters? How long have you been reading the Gospel of John? 21. How come you don't know? You have to open up your Bible. Yes. So how many chapters now? 21. You know why I asked this? Because several years ago, there was a brother in Italy. I love this brother, he's an older brother. He and his wife and his children at that time, they were living in northern Italy in a place called Bolzano. He preached the gospel to the whole city. You cannot believe that a person like him, they went on knocking the whole city. You know why? Because he was a Jehovah's Witness. Then he came out of Jehovah's Witness. So they were preaching the gospel every weekend. He was in a marketplace, single. His wife was there, he and his children, they were all single. And he gave up Bible. And he gave out the Gospel of John and the Bible to people. And people come back to him. And he would ask the people, did you read the Bible? Okay, what does John chapter 22 say? He would ask them, what does John chapter 22 say? And those people, of course, they never read it. We laugh so much. That's why I'm asking you again, how many chapters? You know, in the Gospel of John, there are 21 chapters. How many times did the Lord Jesus Christ mention the Father? How many times? Have you counted? 120 times. I believe there's a 21st time, but I wasn't sure. To make it sure, I just tell you 120 times. I'm sure of 120 times, but I wasn't sure of the 21st. 121st. In 21 chapters, he mentioned the Father's name 121 times. What does it tell you? The Father must be very important. Because when the Lord came to this earth, His purpose, primary purpose, you might say His primary purpose is to die for you on the cross, right? If I ask you, why did the Lord Jesus come to this earth? Why would you tell me? He came for you, right? For you. 对不对? 主耶稣来到地上做什么?
父而来，真的为父吗？不知不觉啊，不是今天早上啊。如果改天的话，有人问你主耶稣为什么来，你会说他来为我们死的，对不对？
What would you tell people? Why the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course, he died for you. But if you read the Bible carefully, the first and foremost reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came is to fulfill the will of the Father. To do the will of the Father. He came to introduce the Father. That's why in John chapter 1 it says, no one has ever seen the Father. Have you ever seen the Father? No. But the only begotten Son of God coming to be amongst us, he declares the Father. He introduced the Father. He defines the Father. He wants you to know the Father. The Father for him is very important. He said, the Son cannot do anything by himself except what he sees the Father do. John 3:16 did not say, for I so loved the world that I came to this earth. Is that your version? Did the Lord say that? For I loved the world so much, I came to be a man, to accomplish salvation. What did he say? Who loves the world? God. Isn't Jesus God? So who loves the world? You should say the Father. Because that's why he sent his only begotten Son. It's a simple answer there. Right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. So who is God? Father. The Father. So at the end, in John 14, after the Lord was with him for so long, Philip still didn't know. How can the Lord hear you? Show us the Father. So the Lord told Philip, what? I have been with you for so long, you still don't know the Father. If you see me, you see the Father, because he's the expression of the Father. You see, even his disciples didn't have that concept. Because they are in their head, it's only the Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah. When he comes, he's going to be the king. He's going to be the king, right? So our concept many times will keep us from knowing the living God. The Father is very. What does the Lord say in John chapter 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have to believe in me. Then you'll be saved. What did he say? Louder. No one comes to go to heaven except through me. Now, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to heaven except through me. If you don't go to heaven, where do you want to go? To the Father. No one goes to the Father except through me. Because he wants to bring you to the Father. The Father, the Father, the Father. For 120 times. But not just to call the Father, but to express the Father. To know what the Father's will is. to know the glory of the Father, to know the business of the Father, to know what a Father wants. Are you a son of God?
Do you know the Father's business?
He is no confidence. Okay. Are you the son of your father, Frank?
You know his business?
Yes. Yes. He knows his father's business quite well. Because how old are you? You're 25 now, right? So if you're 25, 26, you better know your father's business. But if you're 5 years old, will you know your father's business? Did you care for your father's business when you were 5? How about 6? How about 8? How about 10? 12? So, you are son of God, a child, but in an infant stage. That's why many Christians, because they didn't grow in life, they don't care about the father's business. But now you're a grown person. You still just want to play. When you are 6, young. When you're 8, young, right? I remember when I was young, Christmas time, I had a cowboy costume and 2 guns here. Hand it to the star. Can you imagine me doing that today? What would you do if you see me doing that today? No. The more you grow up in your spiritual life, the more you will care for the Father's business. The Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth, he came to introduce to you the Father. Heavenly Father, because you're supposed to be born of him later. When the Lord Jesus came, he talked about being born again. You must be born again. But to be the Father's son, you have to be children of God. The children of God. Now tell me, how do you be born? How are you born again? And what else? Eat. And what else? I know it's difficult because when you were born, you know, as a baby, you don't know what happened, right? But you were born. But Peter says, "The praise, glory be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who regenerated us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Do you know that resurrection is a process of birth to bring forth Christ as the firstborn son? Your birth and our rebirth has much to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But hey, we're not conscious of that. But what I'm going to say is this: when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, his foremost purpose is to introduce the Father. That's why all of these chapters in the Gospel of John, he talks about my Father, my Father. Now, let us turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. The first one who saw the Lord in his resurrection was Mary. Right? And so when Mary, early, very early, while it was still actually dark, you should remember the Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? So, when very early Mary went there, it was still dark, couldn't recognize anyone. Now, when he saw Jesus, finally he saw Jesus, she turned toward him, that's verse 16, and cried out in Aramaic or Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teach. He still called him this teach. Jesus said to me, do not touch me. Don't touch me. Why? He says, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, at this point, I'm going to pause a little bit. Because in resurrection, Jesus Christ is now the first fruit. The firstborn from among the dead, and according to Leviticus, as the firstborn, the Father has to be the first one to enjoy him. Not Mary, not his disciples, not anyone else. Don't touch me. Because he's the first fruits. So he has to ascend to his Father for the Father's enjoyment. The Lord is very scriptural. Don't think it's not important. No. But what did he say to Mary? Please read to me. You, Charlie, yeah, please. Stand up and read it for us.
Jesus said to her, is not me who you are.
Do not cling to me. Do not touch me. Yeah.
For I have not said this to my Father.
Yes.
But go to my brethren.
But go to my brethren. All of a sudden, Jesus has brethren. Go to my brethren. Can you imagine that? Okay. Say to the brethren what?
To my Father.
No.
Say to them. I am ascending to my Father and your Father.
Wow.
And to my God and your God.
Wow. Wonderful. Thank you. This verse is very, very important. That is the final result of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just to save you from hell and bring you to heaven. No. It is much, much more than that. Now to make his Father also your Father. And you become the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you, is Jesus God? Is the Father God? Is Jesus your Father? He's God. Adam is not your Father. Are you the brother of the Father? Are you a brother of God? Is God your brother? No, you can never say that. But is Jesus Christ your brother? You should say yes. Hallelujah. That's my big brother. He's the firstborn, and we are his many brethren. You are a son of God, and you are a brother of Jesus. Don't say, I'm a son of Jesus and a brother of the Father. Oh, my goodness, that doesn't work like that. You need to learn the truth in a proper way. If you're just in the doctrine, you'll be so confused. But if you are in the spirit and you're in the reality of the relationship, you will not be confused. Will you confuse your brother? What is your brother's name again? Calvin. Don't forget, okay? What is he now? Calvin. Do you sometimes confuse and call Calvin your dad? Never? 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 father. Oh, hi, Dad. Oh, no, hi. Hi, Calvin. And then while you're talking to him, I said, Dad. Oh, no, Calvin. And then after a while, you said, Calvin, and you said, Dad. And when you saw your dad, you said, Calvin. Never? How about when you pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. All of a sudden, the Father became the Lord Jesus. And then you pray the Lord Jesus, you all of a sudden remember, oh no, I have to pray to the Father. And you say, Father. And after you pray, in the third sentence, you say, oh Lord Jesus. Oh, no, Lord, a Father. At the end, you don't know, you pray to the Father, to the Lord Jesus. Are you like that? How about you? I know people who say, John, you're splitting hairs. You think I'm splitting hairs? I have very bad eyesight. I can't even read that song in Chinese. How can I split hairs? You don't need to split hairs between your dad and your Calvin, right? Right? Do you make a mistake sometimes? Your dad? No. Call your dad your husband. Oh, no, dad. It's because you don't know the Father so well. You don't have the relationship. I'm not talking about doctrines here. I'm talking about the real relationship. Don't cling to me because I'm ascending my Father. No, you go and tell my brethren. Mary, we said, which one? You may say Jacob, James, and Jude. Which one are you talking about? My brethren, which one? The Lord said, Peter, James, John, Matthew. Huh? Are you brethren? Since when? Since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Before that, the Lord never called them my brethren. Oh, brother Peter. Peter, what? Your brother Peter. Have you ever prayed to the Lord sometimes and says, oh, brother Jesus, I really need your help now. You know, just a joke sometimes. My young brother, George, when he was much younger in school, if somebody wants to come and fool around with him, be careful, I'm going to tell my brother, my big brother. What about if the devil comes and try to tempt you and all that? What do you tell? Wait, I'm going to call my big brother. Lord Jesus, come deal with this snake here. We have a wonderful Savior who is our brother. So close to you. Deeply related. He's the firstborn. No, we have many brethren. You go. 很有名的大哥，你知不知道？很有名的大哥，所以不要随便叫人大哥啊！你有这个真正的大哥，他是坐在宝座上的大哥。 My big brother is the one sitting on the throne today. What if your big brother is the president? You think anybody dares to touch him? the police want to give you a ticket in Manila. My, our wonderful brothers on our Jesus Christ, the first born from among the dead, he's the one sitting on the throne today. So there is a difference. You have to know the difference. Now let me just write it down for all of you to see. We need to learn to know our God and learn details. But His Bible showed us who He is and how He manifested Himself to us. Right? So how many God do we have? Tell me. Huh? Do we have three gods? This is very clear in the Bible. Right? Here Israel, your God is only one. There's only one true God. We don't have three gods. Right, Mercy? You have three gods? Don't believe what Jehovah's Witness and Mormon says. No, we only have one God. But in a very amazing way, this God reveals Himself to us as the Father, as the Son, as the Holy Spirit. Now, tell me, are they three or are they one? Well, there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One. No. Right? You know how to count? One, two, and three. It's three. Don't say one. If you say there's these three, it's one. I'll send you back to school. Okay? No, the three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How many? You better believe there are three. Now, is the Father God? Is the Son God? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit God? You're sure. Is the Father equal to the Son? Is the Son equal to the Spirit? They are related, but they are not the same. Because the Bible shows us the difference. And this difference is for our sake. God is only one God. But in order to accomplish His wonderful, great purpose in us, He has to make Himself into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot say the Father equals the Son. No. In John chapter 10, verse 31, it says, I and my Father are one, but not one in the sense of just one and the same person. One in the sense that whatever the Father is doing, the Son will do exactly the same, because the Son will not do anything by Himself and of His own. In that sense, the Son is fully one with the Father. But in chapter 14, verse 28, we read last night, my Father is what? Great. So, is the Son and the Father the same? Are you one with your Father? Or do you disagree with Him all the time? Are you one with your Father? Are you your Father? But you're one with your Father. I don't want to confuse you. Are you one with your Father? Are you your Father? Wow, very clear. Is the Son one with the Father? Is the Son equal to the Father? Learn to say that. You don't have to say that. But is the Son God? Is the Father God? Do we have two gods? This is the beauty of our wonderful divine God. Who else can do this? Can you do that? But he is God. And he did that for our sake. So you can really see there is a difference, and we cannot ignore the difference. That's why the Lord says, hey, I go to my Father, not your Father, to my God, and to your God. And he says, I go there, don't be sad, I go because my Father is greater than I. And if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. Now you have another one here called the Holy Spirit. Who sent the Holy Spirit? The Father with the Son. They both sent together the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit the Father? The Son? On the other hand, the Holy Spirit will bring the reality of the Father and the Son into us. So, without the Holy Spirit, there is no reality. You can believe, yes, but you have no experience. The experience will come through the Holy Spirit. This is very important. That's why the Gospel of John, chapter 14, let us go there quickly to treat you. Verse 25, the Lord Jesus said, all these I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But however, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will even remind you of everything I have said to you. Isn't that wonderful? This is really wonderful. And then in chapter 16, he says, the Holy Spirit will not glorify himself, he will glorify me. And he will receive everything from me. Because everything that the Father has is given to me, and he will disclose them to you. Why so complicated? Because you are a complicated being. We are complicated. So we need the Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit comes into you, which Spirit is that? Is it the Spirit of God? Or is it the Spirit of Christ? Or is it the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of God. There are not three spirits. It is also the Spirit of Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth or the Spirit of Reality, because the Holy Spirit wants to bring the reality of the Father and the Son into us. You have to know the living God in such a living way. Don't just read the Bible, no. You just read the Bible without the Spirit in you. You will not have the reality. You become a theologian. So, may the Lord really open our eyes to see. Now, why do I mention this? Because the Father is the object of our worship. The Spirit is you, not for you, as an object of worship. But without the Spirit, you cannot worship the Father in reality.
The Spirit is very, very important. We need to see this. So, the Father is greater than the Son. And the Son and the Father, right, is greater than the Holy Spirit. That's why it's written, the Holy Spirit will not glorify himself, and he will not speak out of himself. Unfortunately, we speak a lot of things out of ourselves, especially when you get mad. You speak out of your flesh. A lot of things get out. Right? But the Holy Spirit will not speak out of himself, never, but whatever he receives of the Lord. And he will not glorify himself, he will glorify the Lord. And the Lord will glorify the Father. And he prayed, Father, glorify the Son. Right? So let me tell you, let me go to 1 John chapter 1 with you quickly. Together. First John chapter 1 verse 4. Right? I believe it's in verse 4. Right? Okay, would you please read it? I don't have King James. Yeah. Chapter 1 verse 4. Verse 3, I'm sorry. Verse 3.
Which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
And with the Holy Spirit. John must have forgotten the Holy Spirit. Did you think John forgot about the Holy Spirit? How come he only mentioned our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ? He forgot. Then where is the Holy Spirit? That Holy Spirit is the fellowship. Because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot touch the reality of the Father and the Son. Cannot. It is the Holy Spirit that calls you to fellowship. You don't fellowship with your mind. Meditate only. I'm not saying you shouldn't meditate. The mind is good for understanding. But really, to fellowship, to enter into the reality, partaking of the triune God, the word fellowship, koinonia, means to partake. So when you're fellowshipping with a piece of cheesecake, what happened to the cheesecake? At the end, the cheesecake got into you, into your stomach. To fellowship is not just to talk to him and discuss. No, to fellowship means to partake. And how can you partake? It is through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of reality, the Spirit of truth. He will lead us into all the reality. So our fellowship, which is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because it is only by the Holy Spirit you can fellowship. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, John saw the throne. Whose throne is it? You don't have to read the Bible. You know already. Okay, read it anyway. For the sake of many of the young people, read it. Okay. Read it. Okay. Okay, read it. Read it. 22, verse 1. Yeah. No, no, in English. Okay.
The new river of water of life.
Yeah.
Clear as crystal.
Mm-hmm.
proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb.
And of the Holy Spirit. The throne is called what? The throne of
God.
And of the Lamb. So, how many seats are the throne? Oh, come on. You know arithmetic. It's very easy. God and the Lamb. How many?
Two.
So how many seats on the Lamb? On the throne? Two. What happened to the third? Why don't you call it the throne of God and of the Lamb and of the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the water of life flowing out of the throne to reach us. It's the connection between the Father and the Son and you and I. That is the connection. The reality. The substance. So without the Holy Spirit, you have no substance. You have the Bible, you have the knowledge, but you have no reality, no substance, you have nothing. So, that's why there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is to bring the reality of the Father and the Son into us. So the Bible then says we are filled with the Father. So what are you filled with? With the Holy Spirit. Don't say I'm filled with the Father. Yes, go ahead. Yes, the Holy Spirit already existed because the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of God. Now, let me, that is an excellent question. Because in the Old Testament days, the Spirit of God, here is the Spirit of God, is just purely the Spirit of God. It already existed, the Spirit of God. And it's not very often called the Holy Spirit. It may be called the Spirit of Holiness, right? But it's mainly called the Spirit of God. Now, in the Old Testament, there is a process that a priest had to do that's called the anointing oil. Yes, anointing oil. Which is a picture of what the Lord Jesus, when he comes, he's going to do with the Spirit. So, with the anointing oil, you need to have one can here. Right? And here you have one hin of olive oil, pure olive oil. Then with this one hin of pure olive oil in Exodus chapter 13, you need to add here the spices, there are four spices here you need to add into this wonderful hin of olive oil. Then after adding all of these, like myrrh, and calamus, and frankincense, and you have cinnamon, etc., right? You add it into it, and then you mix this up, and the oil becomes the anointing oil. This is a picture of the Son coming. Now, let me continue to show you. Right. Now here is this pure Spirit of God when the Lord incarnated in his incarnation to be a man. Why in this oil the element of the fine humanity is added into the Spirit of God. Then the Lord went through death. So his death is also added into the Spirit. And then the Lord went through death and came out in resurrection.
So your resurrection also added into the spirit. Then he ascended, so his ascension is also added into the spirit. Now the spirit of God is no longer just the pure spirit of God. Through that wonderful work of Christ when he came, in his incarnation, in his crucifixion, in his resurrection and ascension, the spirit is enriched. So the Spirit of God in the New Testament became the Holy Spirit. And it's called the anointing now. That is why in John chapter 7, let us read John chapter 7. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. John 7, okay. 37, let me read it to you in NIV. I'm sorry, I'm NIV, because there's Chinese and English in both. On the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, cried out in a loud voice, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, according to the scriptures, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And that refers to what? That refers to the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, that they have not received yet. Why? Because up to that time, the Spirit was not yet. Now, New King James says what? Has not, was not yet given. So NIV also was not yet given. But in the Greek, the word given was not there. It was not yet. Meaning to say, not yet ready, because the Lord Jesus has not been glorified yet. That means that last part still has to be added. If it's not added, no, it's not complete. Because there need to be four of these wonderful spices added to that pure anointed oil. Yes, brother.
Is that the reason why people way back in the Old Testament?
Do not have what?
The truth.
That's right. They didn't have it yet. No reality yet. But that does not mean that they have not experienced the Spirit of God. But at that time, the Spirit of God is outwardly influencing them. So it's all the time when the prophet speaks, they were influenced by the Holy Spirit. That's why they say, "Thus saith the Lord." Yes.
Is that the reason why the present Christian
church
is not the Holy?
Yes, because they were influenced by that. That's why especially the Pentecostal people, they like to say, "Thus saith the Lord God." They like to use the Old Testament way. But Paul did not write it, "Thus saith the Lord God," and blah, 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 blah. Paul did not do that. Neither did Peter do that. Neither did James do that. Nobody, none of the apostles did that. Because now the Holy Spirit is in there, indwelling in them. And they become one with the Holy Spirit. And they learn to really live and walk by the Holy Spirit. That's a big difference. That's a very, very big difference. Right? So, praise the Lord. Then, when the Holy Spirit was ready, then the Lord can pour it out to us. Now the Holy Spirit has the element of the death of Christ on the cross. Otherwise, how can the pure, holy Spirit of God dwell in an unholy vessel like you and I? Like me, you and me? Because of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was accomplished. The blood was shed. So the death element is now in this wonderful Holy Spirit. Right? Okay. So you need to know the triune God. Now, among this triune God, the greatest is definitely the Father. That is why the Lord wants to bring us to the Father, and that is why the object of our worship is the Father. Now, I erase the word God here, and I'm going to put it back in. Just one more thing that you need to see. All three are one God. So, in their status as God, there's no difference. So, Thomas can call the Lord Jesus my Lord and my God, because the Lord Jesus was God. Right? But even when the Lord Jesus was God, he did not say, hey, I'm also God, I'm equal to the Father. Did he do that? No. Otherwise, the triune God will be fighting with each other for a position. The Son will tell the Father, I'm also God, why should you be bigger than us? But than me, let's exchange place. Don't do that with your dad, okay? Don't say, Dad, no, I'm taking over. Let's exchange place. No, don't do that. Let me read to you Philippians. You know, the Bible is actually very clear in every aspect. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, somebody read it in English. In English. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 5 and 6. Beginning verse 5 to 6.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
用英文就好了，要不然我会乱的。用英文 Who?
Who being in the form of God,
in a very form,
not consider his robbery to be equal with God.
Yes. Thank you. The Lord Jesus is just as much God as the Father. We don't have three gods. Because there's only one God. So in their divine status, there's no difference. You need to see this. And here, chapter 2 of Hebrews, who being in the very nature of God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It didn't say the Word was a second-class God. No, and the Word was God. Jehovah's Witness tried to add the word a God. That's wrong. And the Word was God. That means the Lord Jesus, in his divine nature, is equal with God. But as the Son, he did not take his equality with God as thing to be grabbed. But we are different. We compete with each other. Why should you be the president and I not? Let's have a vote. Ask the angels to see which one should be the Father and which one should be the Son. Now let's have a vote. Democracy. Now who is going to take over the business? You or you? Are you willing to be the second? The third? position or money. You think our triune God is like that? If I were a son, I would tell the father, let's change place. You go. You go. I will sit on the throne. You go. I am also God, right? Now why should I go and suffer so much? You go. 我不要去，我要做父，你去。 可以吗? Which one would you prefer? You like to be the father or you like to be the son? Now he's telling me. Huh? Of course. Well, thank you for your honesty. What about you? You like to be born in a manger and to be despised by everybody, your own creature. You know, you created them and you want to be crucified. Well, I negotiate with the father. Well, okay, you want to send me to be born away in a carpenter's family, send me, and to be born in Bill Gates' family, a rich family, in the family of the high priests. How about that? You like to be born in a manger? No, not even in a hotel. A one-star hotel. If you ask the father, you will ask the father to let me board in a seven-star hotel. 五星还不够，我是神的，你叫我去一星的酒店啊，在马槽生出来，你喜欢吗？ So, what do you think? The Lord will fight and argue with the Father who should go. Okay, let's flip the coin. Head or tail? Did they do that? What about if we have 3 or 4 elders? Who will be the chief? That is why Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You want to lower yourself, I don't think so. Many of us are not willing. I have seen many situations. I've seen too many situations. No. We don't have this mind, but we must have, we should have this mind of Christ. Right. So, that is why the worship will all go to the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we all need to know some of these verses, which is very, very important. Right? Verse 24, beginning in verse 24. Then the end will come. Right? For the Son, of course, got a kingdom, and he will hand over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all the dominion and authority and power. Ah, you want to keep the power for yourself? Are you willing to let go of the power? You think people want to let go of the power? Have you ever seen someone who is willing? If they're very, 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 very few. It's almost impossible. So the Son, after he has received the kingdom, he will give the kingdom to where? To whom? Why? Isn't he qualified? Isn't he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You want to give up that position, give it to the Father? We all need to learn, right? Please notice that. For he has put everything under his feet. Nobody says that everything has been put under him, which is Christ. It is clear that it does not include God, the Father himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, for the Father who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. So who is the greatest? Yeshua. Are they equal? Don't say, oh Lord Jesus, you're not only my Savior, but you also want to be my Father. It will shock him out of his wit. The Lord will tell you, no. I am your Savior, but I'm not your Father. There is one that is above me, he is your Father. He is my Father, and he is your Father. It is way off. Oh, it's 12 o'clock. Thank you very much for reminding me. We have to stop. Sorry. Why didn't your brother stop me?